start with the beginning of the Sedra. The Sedra speaks about the parish of Nedorim. A person makes a nether to prohibit himself with something that the Torah permitted. So that is the parish of Nidrei Isser. There's another kind of Nedorim that's called Nidrei Hekdesh, where you make a nether to bring a korban or to donate something to the Beis HaMikdash or whatever. The Ramban says that these are two separate parshios, two separate mitzvahs. The mitzvah of Nidrei Hekdesh and the mitzvah of Nidrei Isser. Two separate things. The Ramban counts them as one thing. Question like this. The Gemara seems to say that making Nidorim, Nidrei Isser, is not a proper thing. Because Lodaya Masha Ostra Torah, it's not enough what the Torah said, you have to make new prohibitions. The Gemara compares it to making a Bama. You're making your own little religion, right? Your own little Mizbeah to make Korbanos on it. And if you fulfill the nether, then it's like you made a Korban on the Bama, which seems also to be negative. So the question is, so then where's the place for Nidrei Isser? If it's a negative thing, why does the Torah permit it? So Tosfos, and the Ramban seems to say a similar idea, says that this is a case where something is wrong, but it's the lesser of two evils under certain situations. For instance, they give the example to a person, there's not a lot of fast on Shabbos, but if you have a bad dream, right, certain kinds of dreams that really upset you. So then the halacha is you're allowed to fast on Shabbos, but you have to fast on Sunday to make up for the fasting on Shabbos. So, manushach, is it okay or not okay? The answer is that it's not okay to fast on Shabbos. But under the circumstances, it's better to fast on Shabbos to get away from the bad dream because it's going to ruin your Shabbos even more. So the Torah or the rabbis permitted you to fast on Shabbos, even though it's not a positive thing, but under the circumstances, lesser than two evils. And therefore, you have to make up for it by fasting on Sunday to make up for fasting on Shabbos. Okay. They say the same thing over here. Really, making a nether is not a positive thing, but under certain circumstances, it's the lesser of two evils. Because, for instance, let's say a person knows that if he doesn't make a nether, that he's not going to eat hamburgers, right? He's going to end up eating in McDonald's. Not the glut one, the whatever, right?
Not even the non-glut one, right?
In America, right? He's end up eating. He knows that he can't. He's addicted to hamburgers, and if he eats even permissible ones, it's going to lead him to eat also ones. So he makes a nether, no more hamburgers. Now that's not a positive thing, but under the circumstances, it's a lesser of two evils. Therefore, the Ramban says you can't equate making a nether to bring something to the Beis HaMikdash, right, and making this kind of nether, because they're two completely different things. This one's a lesser of two evils, this one's a positive thing. The Rambam, on the other hand, holds no. A Bama, the comparison to building a Bama depends when. There were times in Jewish history where Bamas were permitted, before there was a Beis HaMikdash. Right, before there was a Beis HaMikdash, so you were allowed to build a Bama in certain times. If there was they came to Nov and Givon, then the Bamas were prohibited again, and then they were permitted again. Once the Beis HaMikdash was built, there's no more heter of Bamas anymore. So, but there was a time of heter of Bamas. A Bama basically is where you have an individual service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, separate from everybody else. When there's a Beis HaMikdash, then the avoda has to be a communal avoda. And making your own Bama is not a positive thing. But where there is no Beis HaMikdash, then the avoda could be an individual kind of thing. Based on this idea, the Rambam, I think, holds the following. He doesn't say this. The Rambam holds like this. When the Gemara speaks about making a nether is like building a Bama, and fulfilling it is like making a korban, the Gemara didn't necessarily mean it's negative. It depends on when and how. For a person who doesn't need that nether, so why is he doing it? Why is he making this nether? In order to make his own little religion, right? He wants to make his mark. It's not enough what the Torah prohibited. I want to make my Isurim. So that is a function of ego. And that is like building your own Bama when there's supposed to be, everybody's supposed to do the same thing. Why do you have to make your own special things? Then it's negative. And fulfilling it is like bringing a carbon on a Bama in a time when it's awesome. However, when it's necessary for a person, he's doing it because according to his nature, he needs this siyag. He's making it as a fence around the Torah. He's not trying to, as ego, to make his own prohibitions. He's just trying to strengthen and enhance what the Rabban Shalom said. I know that if I, what's it called, don't make a neder to go to sleep at 11 o'clock, I'm not going to get up for minyan in the morning. And I know I don't have the self-control to do it without a neder. So I'm not making a neder because I want to make a new religion of sleeping at 11 o'clock. I'm doing this in order to enhance my going to davening in the morning. So it's not an ego trip. It's adarava. It's in order to enhance doing what the Torah wants. But according to my individual situation, and here you have to take that individual situation into account, right? It's the right thing for me. So that's more comparable to a time when there was it was mutter to bring to make a bama and to bring a sacrifice on it, because there the individual was the main thing. There wasn't yet a communal avoda. There was only individual. So where the individual avoda enhances the Torah, then it's like making a bama in a time when you're allowed to build bamas, which is a positive thing. Where it's not to enhance the Torah, it's just to make your own religion, right? To make your own ego, right? Then it's negative. Then it's like building a bama in a time when your individual avoda is not proper. It's more proper to do the communal avoda. So that I think is the difference between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Ramban sees Nedarim always as a negative, but sometimes it's a lesser of two evils. The Rambam sees a Nedarim sometimes being negative and sometimes being a positive thing based on the circumstances. Okay. Next. Okay, Hataras Nedarim. Okay, I just want to explain a little bit how it works. A person makes a neder. He can't go against what he said. He has to keep that nether. But lo yachel devaro, he can't abrogate his words, but somebody else can. That is a chacham, right? And one chacham who is a baki can be matur nether himself. But the minig is to have dafka three people, no matter who the person is. One person doesn't do it himself. You have three, a beis din. Of that beis din, one of them has to know the laws of Nedarim and know what he's doing. And the other two just have to sit there and smile or whatever. It works the following way. So how do you matter neder? This guy said he made a neder. How in the world you obliterate that neder? So the answer is you can do it with a Pesach of Harata. That the person regrets making that neder to begin with. Okay? In other words, not that I regret it now. Person made a neder, right, like we said, he's not going to eat hamburgers. Okay? And then he, what's it called, realizes that there's a scarcity of meat in the country, and the only thing available to eat is hamburgers. So, if he says, look, if I would have known to begin with that this situation was going to come up, it's not really a good example because it's a situation that's not that person could have considered to begin with. Or whatever, he finds out that eating hamburgers is very healthy and he needs it for his health. He needs it for his health. If I would have known that hamburgers have this protein and I need it for my health, I never would have made this neder to begin with. It's not that he regrets it now. I regret making it to begin with. So then the Torah said, if you regret it to begin with, someone else can now abrogate that neder for you. Okay, why? And it abrogates the neder l'mafreya, retroactively. It's like you never had the neder altogether. And therefore, if you ate hamburgers in between, and then you were matur neder, you didn't do anything wrong, because the neder is uprooted retroactively. It never was there.
So then why is she higher when... she's over that.
No, no. If you
no,
whatever. It could be Yenichanan. It could be that you need kapara also. But if let's say you ate it by accident or whatever, then you didn't do anything wrong. Okay. Because the neder is uprooted. There's another way called haforas nedarim. That's if a woman, married woman, makes a neder, and the neder affects her husband. It's called nidrei. What's it called? Inui nefesh. Right, something where she is harming herself, she's not eating something or whatever, and the husband is affected by that. He doesn't want his wife to be oppressed and suffer, right, even though she wants to do it. Right, or it's dvarim shebeino veino. She makes a neder, something that affects him. So then, the halacha is the husband can be mefer the neder. The day, but it's limited. When you make hataras nedarim, you can make that hataras nedarim 100 years later. After the neder, makes no difference. Whenever the person will come and say, "I regret making that neder to begin with," and then the Beis Din will be mater neder, it takes away the neder retroactively, and there's no time limit on it. By hafaras nedarim, there's a time limit. From the time the husband hears of that neder, he has what's it called, 1 day, right, to be made for that neder, meaning a day, meaning that if he hears it in the at night, he has till the next Shkia. If he hears it in the daytime, he has till Shkia. He has 1 day, that's it, till the end of that day. The day that he heard it, right, he has to be made for nether. If he's not, then it's too late, and there's no way the woman can be mater nether if she regrets it, but there can't be made for nether. By Haforas Nedarim, she doesn't have to regret it at all. He obliterates the nether, but here, it's only from now on, from the time he's made for the nether and on, not retroactive.
A minute from sunset.
Right, a minute from sunset is 1 minute to do it.
Okay. She can master the nether herself.
Well, she could be master the nether if she wants. But if she doesn't want to be master the nether, there's no power for the husband to be made for it after a day. Okay. So that's Hataras Nedarim and Haforas Nedarim and the difference between them, how they work. Now, the case you were referring to, let's discuss. The Gemara says that the following case: a woman made a neder; she's not eating cake. Okay, she wants to go on a diet, and she knows she doesn't have the self-control, so she makes a neder: I'm not eating any more cake. Her husband hears her neder from the other room, right? And he says, "Nothing doing. I don't want my wife not to eat cake. I like my wife so much; the more of her, the better." So I want her to eat cake. So he's made for the neder. He doesn't have to tell her. He doesn't say it where she's audible. He just says, Mufarlach, from the other room. She thinks she has a neder. He never tells her that he was made for the neder. And for 2 weeks she holds out. She doesn't eat a morsel of cake. And then she breaks down and she swallows a chocolate cake whole. She comes to her husband. She says, "I really feel terrible, physically and spiritually. Right? I made a neder not to eat cake. Today I swallowed a whole chocolate cake." He says, "Don't feel bad." He said, "I was made for the neder. You never had a neder." The Torah says, "Isha hafeira." She says, the Torah says, "Isha hafeira." Even though the husband was made for the neder, the Hashem yislachla, she still needs God to forgive her. She did something wrong. The Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva learned from that, "Niskaven lecho boser chazir." If you intend to eat chazer, but also biyado basar tleh, but by accident you ate kosher meat, right? Example, I always like to give, or we'll give it because we're going to have to discuss why that's the case, different than other cases. Person walks into a restaurant in, let's not make it Eretz Yisrael, let's make it in Tuzla, right? Muncie, right? Trefa restaurant in Muncie. And, real trade. And he says, what's it called? I'm tired of eating kosher meat. It has no taste. I want to taste what a real non-kosher steak tastes like. Walks into the restaurant, sits on the table, orders a nice non-kosher steak. Meanwhile, unbeknownst to him, the restaurant had a fire in its kitchen the night before, and they can't do anything. They were going to close down, but they realized that they'll lose customers. So they made a deal with the Glatt Kosher restaurant down the block that if anybody orders anything, they will deliver it through the back door and serve it as if it's theirs. So the waiter goes into the kitchen, gets on the phone, calls the Glatt Kosher restaurant, send me over a steak. Okay. Send over a steak and disposable things. The waiter comes out, he says, I have to apologize, we had a problem with our kitchen, we don't have dishes or whatever, everything has to be disposable, but here's your steak. The guy sits down, cuts into the steak. Ah, now this is a steak, not like the Glatt Kosher place down the block. This tastes like a steak. Unbeknownst to him, he's eating the steak from the Glatt Kosher place. Comes Yom Kippur, and he finds out what happened. He has to do tshuva. He needs kapara. So the Rabbi Akiva said, we learn it from this case of the woman, right? Miskaven lecho boser chazir. You intended to eat treif, but also beyond that, by accident you ate kosher, right? You need kapara, just like this woman. She thought she was eating a chocolate cake against her nether. She didn't realize she'd have a nether. Still, the Torah says, Vashem Yislachla. God has to forgive her, you need to do tshuva. Okay. The question is the following. We know there's a rule that Machshava Roa Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzar for the Maisa. God only punishes for actions by a Jew. But bad intentions, God does not punish you for. I'll give you an example. I'll see another case. The other case would be like this. You walk into a non-kosher restaurant and you order a non-kosher steak. And their kitchens are up and running and to go in, prepare this non-kosher steak for you, right? And the waiter comes out and as he is getting close to your table, a lightning bolt, right, or a missile strikes the restaurant. The waiter's gone, the steak is gone, everything around you is in shambles except for your table. You're still there sitting waiting for your steak and you're not going to get the steak. You go home hungry. Do you need kapara then or not? So we have a rule. No, you intended to do bad, but you didn't. It was only bad intentions. It never panned out. So there we have machshava ra'a ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzar for the Maisa. You don't need to do tshuva. You don't need kapara. Right, you're off the hook. What's the difference between the two cases? So don't tell me, well, this one you ate, but you ate a kosher steak. All it was is you thought it was treif. Here you thought to eat treif, and by circumstances beyond your control, if you would have said I changed my mind, you told the waiter, you know what, forget it, keep your steak, you eat the steak, I'll pay for it, I'm going home, then for sure you don't get anything wrong, you change your mind. Here you didn't change your mind, you were raring to eat that steak. Except the missile obliterated the waiter and the steak. So there's no more steak. So you went home hungry, but not because you changed your mind, but because circumstances beyond your control prevented you from eating that steak. You don't need kapara. So why in this case? Here circumstances also prevented you, because it turned out to be kosher.
Kapara is not for eating the steak. Kapara is for eating, you know, what you thought was wrong and doing the mice,
but so,
the
mice wasn't. But why is it worse?
We haven't had many times before. There's kapara, there's chalata, there's slicha. There's different aspects to what you did.
I never. Why? But if I intended to eat treif and I was only stopped because of circumstances beyond my control, then why don't I eat kapara for that bad intention?
Well, I have a question.
Here I had bad intention too. What I ate was perfectly okay. It's just I thought I was eating treif. So if I need kapara for the thought, why don't I need kapara for the thought over here?
Well, how do you,
that's
you,
the question.
In any of these cases, what do you do for kapara? Like this level of kapara, that level of kapara? Are there things you...
No, you say, I did tshuva. I regret wanting to eat the treif, and I'll never do it again, and chotasi avisi poshati. That's all I get in tshuva.
Right. But you don't have to say that for the thought, the mashavah, you wouldn't have to say that, because it seems just as...
Right, no, on the thought, you don't need kapara. Right. But the answer is, it's not really a fair question, because you're missing a piece of information. If you have that information, it's no question. The Gemara in Kedushin says that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not punish people for bad intentions is very limited. It's not across the board. What is it limited to? If you never did that sin twice before. I don't know if there's a time limit on that twice, right? You did it twice when you were 18, and now you're 98, right?
It's
because Kivan Sha'avar Adam Adeira Vishonaba Nase Lo Keheter. In other words, the following. If, in my case, you walk in on Sunday to a Trefa restaurant, right? You order the trefa steak, and when the waiter is on your way to your table, he gets obliterated by a missile, right? then you won't get punished for eating, for not eating the steak, but for wanting to eat the steak. But what happens if on Sunday you went into that restaurant, ordered a tray for steak, they served it and you ate it? Monday you went in and said, that was great yesterday, give me another one. You say, serve it and you eat it. You've done the sin twice now. Now on Tuesday you walk in and you order another steak, and now the missile strikes. Okay? Now you're going to get punished for ordering that steak. Why? Because the reason, at least this is what I think, the reason why God does not punish you for ordering the steak, even though you didn't change your mind, is because he gives you the benefit of the doubt. And even though God knows everything, but when it comes to our free choice, he functions with us as if he doesn't know. Therefore, God says like this, I'll give the guy the benefit of the doubt, that probably if they would have served him the steak and it wouldn't have been obliterated with a missile, he would have changed his mind before he ate it. He would have backed out. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. He would have backed out. You can say that the first time and the second time. But once you've done the sin twice, we have a rule. Kivan sha'avar adam avera v'shanaba, you did an avera twice, nasas lo keheter. Then it becomes like something motor to you. You don't feel anymore it's prohibited. You get into the habit of doing it. Right? I know somebody that, what's it called, that went off the derech. They said the first time they drove on Shabbos, their hands were shaking. Right? They had to stop the car. Second time, the hands weren't shaking anymore. They could go on. The third time already was nothing. You got used to it. So therefore, the first two times, God can say, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt, that you probably would have backed out before you ate it. But if you've done it twice already, there's no reason anymore to assume that you would have backed out, because you've become accustomed to it. Therefore, now it's understandable why the first case, you need kapara the first time. There's no more benefit of the doubt. What could you have done? You ate the steak. You thought it was great. Finished. There's no more benefit of the doubt. By the case where you didn't get the steak yet, right, and the lightning bolt hit or the missile hit, we could give you the benefit of the doubt. God could give you the benefit of the doubt that even if they would have served you the steak, you would have rejected it. You would have changed your mind. But here, everything's finished. You ate what you thought was straight. There's nothing more to consider. So therefore, this first time is like the third time where you didn't get it, right, but the circumstances prevented you.
Yeah. What if you like reverse it? Let's say you went into the kosher restaurant and this guy was a crook and he was serving you trays of meat.
So we've explained in the past.
What?
No, I'm just that fits for Muncie for sure.
Yeah. This is Muncie. I went to the kosher restaurant, he bought it for the guy next door.
See,
or if you intend to do a mitzvah.
We explained in the past that there are two parts to every aveira. There's the intrinsic damage the aveira does, right, spiritually, and then there's the fact that you rebelled against God. They don't always go together. For instance, if by accident, or not by accident, but let's say by accident you ate something not kosher, right, just like drinking poison and you didn't realize it was poison, you're not rebelling against the king, but the poison's there.
It's still okay.
In certain situations, it's totally accidental, it won't affect you. Why? Because it's different.
Now,
if somebody forces you to drink poison, pours it down your throat, it's still going to affect you. Mm-hmm. But that's because it's totally physical. But if somebody forces you to do an avera and you have no choice, it doesn't affect you at all, probably, because then your body is functioning and your neshama is not in gear, because it's totally against your will. But if it's something that you could have prevented, you should have checked in more to the hashkacha. You shouldn't have trusted this person or whatever. But if you could, if the person was, 100% reliable, and there's no reason in the world why you should think there was anything wrong, that's very possible it doesn't affect you at all. Because then it's your body that's functioning, but not your neshama, because you're completely an accident. But if it was negligence, then negligence, it's going to affect you. On the other hand, you can have the case where you didn't do anything wrong. Right? You thought you were drinking poison, and it really was lemonade. Okay? But what's it called? But that's not a good case, because when the king said, right, not to eat apples, and you thought apples were watermelons, and you went in front of the king's palace and you say, I'm eating this watermelon, no matter, I'm eating this apple, big watermelon apple, right, I don't care what the king says. So actually didn't eat an apple, but the mice, you intended to rebel against the king, right? If the doctor said apples are, you're allergic to apples, if you eat an apple, it's going to affect you, and you make a mistake and think watermelons are apples, not going to affect you at all. But from the king's standpoint, you rebelled against the king. So therefore, there's this part of the sin which is the rebellion. That doesn't make a difference if you actually did it or you didn't do it, as long as your intention was to rebel. There's a part of the sin that the intrinsic damage, right? There, the opposite is true, right? Even if you didn't intend to rebel against the king, you thought this was kosher, but you were negligent, it's going to affect you. You need to get the poison out of your system. Okay, let's go to something else. Nekama, revenge. This parsha is a parsha of revenge. Right? Nekom, God says, take the revenge of the Jewish people, and Moshe says, take the revenge of God. And really, they're synonymous, because whoever hates Klal Yisrael, whoever are enemies of God. Even if they think that they're doing it for the sake of God, but the real God is the God of Klal Yisrael, right? Who favors us, right? Who chose us. And somebody who's against Christ is against God, no matter what they think. They could be Christians or doing it in the name of whatever, the Crusaders, or Muslims in the name of Allah, but they are Oyve Hashem if they're Oyve Yisrael. They are synonymous. Okay, so therefore, Nikmas Hashem is Nikmas Yisrael and Nikmas Yisrael. Nikama is a very important thing when it's necessary and when it is sanctioned by the Torah. Kael Nekamos Hashem. God puts Nekama between two of his names. Kael Nekamos Hashem. The Gemara says about three things. Gedola Dea. Wisdom is extremely important because you see it's between two names of God. Kael Deo Hashem. It's sandwiched between two names of God. So to the Beis Hamikdash is what's it called? Very important because it's also sandwiched between two names of God. Right, Mikdash Hashem. Hashem, Mikdash Hashem. There's a pasuk where the Hashem comes before the Mikdash and after the Mikdash. So it's important. So the Gemara asks, Nekama is also put between two names of God. Kael Nekamos Hashem. Are you going to tell me Nekama is also important? Yeah, the Gemara says when it's necessary, it's important. A person can't decide when he's going to take revenge just like this. But if God commands to take revenge, or it's in a situation like the Maccabees, right, where we were under under fire, and the one that obliterated Torah, and we stood up for the Torah and defended ourselves, then the fact that nakamtas nikmasam, in the end we had nakama on those Goyim, that's a positive thing. For a person to decide on his own he's going to take revenge, right, against whatever, that's not necessarily sanctioned.
What would be the difference between the Kama and Kanaos?
Kanaos is even where Pinchas didn't take Nekama on anybody. He just was zealous, right? An act of zealousness that was extreme. Right? It's a shame that you don't get the weekly Modiya here. I just put an article in there, in today's paper, which I don't get either. They sent me a copy of the article about Kanos and Nekama. Believe me, I'll make copies and bring a few. It's an interesting article about, and it has to do with current events. So, unfortunately, and a lot of current events, three different things. But in any case, it's good to read. I don't want to go into it now, but I'll bring it. Believe me, somebody remind me, right, Yosef? I see you during the week. Remind me, and I'll make copies and bring it in. Okay, in any case, so when it's necessary, Chaim Shmuel Levitz explains why is Nekama important? Because what's the word in Hebrew? It's like Mechasel Cheshbonot. Is there such a thing, idea? Settles accounts. In other words, when evil, you can see it like here now with the war that's going on, if the government will decide to do what they're supposed to do, right? When it appears that evil prospers and is successful, that leaves a terrible Chilul Hashem in people's minds. You see that evil, right, is successful. If you just stop the evil from being successful, So, okay, so this time you stop them. But if they get back, and not only are they not successful, but it evens the accounts, right, it makes a kiddush Hashem. Because now people understand that evil doesn't pay. Because they didn't benefit anything. Right? If it's just, you know, do whatever you want, and then, well, if you stop, so we'll stop also, that's not nekama. That's idiocy.
Or release the terrorists,
right. Right. It seems, from what I can see, even though there's a lot of, you know, noise with different Chevrei Knesset trying to posture whatever, but it seems behind the scenes there's a lot being done that's nekama here, right? But it always bothered me that, you know, that everybody's announcing what they're doing and what kind of war is that, right? You know, you tell the enemy, look, we'll send you a Seder Hayom.
Yeah.
Where we, right? So I assume yeah, that's a different story.
We gave them a map.
That's a different story. That is because, according to international law, if you warn somebody that you're going to attack, right, it's civilians, and you give them the chance to get out, and they don't, then you can't be held responsible for killing them.
Right.
Right.
So,
Hamas
wants dead Palestinians so they can hold them up in front of the world.
Yeah, good, hold in front of the world. But nice, the world can try one no matter what. But at least this way we can hide behind, we're not over any war crimes. It's 100% okay according to them.
Yeah,
it's better to do that. As long as if they don't get out of there, they still bomb it. Not that they don't bomb there, because that's absurd.
This is what happens, you know.
But in any case, what I understand from behind the scenes, right, not that they ask me or tell me, right, but there's a lot going on at night on the ground already that they're not announcing, not telling, and getting rid of tunnels over there, whatever. So I give the government more credit than being total idiots or whatever of what seems on the surface. But again, and it's, the army is right not to announce what they're doing. That's absurd. Right? Tell the enemy what you're doing, right? Especially when people's lives are in danger and going in there under darkness. But you mostly done this quietly under darkness with special commandos, and they know what they're doing. Halavai. So that gives a good feeling to people. Right? These are evil people, and they're now suffering. So we're what's it called? We're evening the slate. We're settling the account. That's the kind of, that's the mile of nekama. Okay.
By the way, are we allowed to read the Modiyah?
Are you allowed to read the Modiyah?
The Modiyah is a good one. Mishpacha is bad. Mishpacha is the bad one. One of the problems.
I don't know.
My son doesn't read.
I don't
mean to
say that.
Okay, just the opposite. The ones that they say you shouldn't read, those are the ones that read more.
Right.
I'm hoping somebody's going to put one of my books in Chirin. I'll become rich. I'm just waiting.
Scheidel's been telling crazy after you.
Okay. So if anybody wants to offer, you know, to start a rumor or something. Okay, one last thing here. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu got angry when they brought back the women as captives. He said, this is the whole reason we went to war over here, because they made us sin with these women. How'd you bring them back?
It was Moab.
By Midian.
But it was Moab women, and it was only
right,
it was,
what?
It was one,
no.
One Moab, one Midian.
Midian, but no, the Midian, the Moabim started, and the Midianim were... So therefore it says Balech Lalkash, because he got angry, he forgot the halachas of Gil Kalim, of Kasher and Kalim and Tvilas Kalim, and Elazar had to say those halachas. So first of all, Moshe Rabbeinu was justified in his anger. You can't say he was punished because he got angry. And secondly, Moshe Rabbeinu's anger probably was not that he lost his temper, right? He used his temper. The answer, I think, is like you said, it's a metzius. Why does a person get angry, lose his wisdom? It's not that he goes crazy. What it means is the following. You get angry, you focus in on one thing, right? Everything else is cleared out. So, because you're focusing in on what you're angry about, everything else fades into the background. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu remembered to tell them, what's it called, that you should stay out of the your tamei, and you should stay out of the thing. He focused in on the negative. Right? They should have killed these women. They should have, what's it called, and you became tamei because. But what was blotted out of his mind, once you focus in on one point, the other points aren't there. What was the other point? How you can make good out of this. You can kosher these kalim and use them. Right? You can take them to the mikveh and now make them yours. That positive side, since he was angry means you focus your attention on one thing. It doesn't mean he lost his temper. It means he used his temper. But once you're using your temper and focusing in on one thing that bothers you, the other thing stays into the... So you can't, at the same time, focus in on the negatives of what's going on and see the positives. It automatically makes you focus in on this and forget about that. So Elazar had to take over to tell him the positives. Moshe Rabbeinu only saw the negative. But it's not just that it's a punishment, that if you get angry where you're not supposed to get angry, you lose your temper, you're going to be punished and forget your learning. It's a natural progression, even if you didn't do anything wrong and you were in control. But once you focus in on one thing with anger, it puts the other things in the background, and you're oblivious of them, because all you can focus in is what's bothering you right now.